But this year we'll be keeping the Passover from our homes, and it'll be on the evening of April 7th. And I thought that I would talk about understanding the Passover before we take the Passover, because it's very important that we understand the Passover. Mr. Miller talked about it in his Bible study, but let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. Because we don't want to just be taking the Passover and following it only as a tradition. Because if we do that, we will not be discerning the Lord's body. As we're turning over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I just want to read to you John 6:53. Jesus Christ said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And that's what we want to talk about today, is understanding what Christ is talking about there and the symbolism of the bread and the wine. The first century congregation of Corinth didn't understand the significance of the Passover, as Paul is correcting them in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. They observed it in an unworthily manner. Let's pick it up in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So here they didn't comprehend the real meaning of the Passover. And my intent today is to get us to understand the real meaning of the Passover, to understand the Passover. Because of their lack of understanding, Paul was warning them, you're not taking the Passover in a worthy manner. Let's back up to verse 24. Christ says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" The bread represents his body, "which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we keep the Passover in remembrance of him. We're going to talk more about that as we go through the message. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after saying, 'This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So we are to take the Passover, and we do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. So as we go through the message, I'll talk about that one sacrifice. But that one sacrifice represents his body and his blood. It's broken down into two sections, but it's still one sacrifice. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. He did it for us. And I believe and think that we all understand that. But my hope today is to help us understand the Passover before we come and take the Passover. Hopefully most of us already understand it, but I thought it was a good review before we take the Passover. I want to do that in relation to the significance of Christ's body and attach it to the two words that represent the two symbols of the bread and the wine. First, real quick, we'll look at the understanding and the meaning of the bread. As we just read, as also in Matthew 26:26, I'll refer to it, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" So the bread represents Christ's body. So today I have 4 points in regards to what the Passover bread symbolizes and what Jesus Christ wants us to remember. And then I also have 4 points in relation to the wine that represents, symbolizes his blood. And you can build on this, but I've hit some highlights here. Point number one, in regards to what the Passover bread symbolizes and what Christ wants us to remember as we take the Passover. Hebrews 10:12 is the body of Jesus became an offering for sin. That's point number one. The body of Jesus became an offering for sin. Scripture, Hebrews 10:12. But this man, referring to Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. So he was the one who was a sacrifice, offered it for sins forever. The second thing that we should think about when we take that bread and understand the symbolism of the bread is Christ has put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ has put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews chapter 9, turn over to that scripture. Hebrews 9, verse 26. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. This was a plan that God had before he created the physical universe. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So through him, our sins can be put away. And it's not just that, Jesus Christ can put our sins away. It's through repentance. It's through change. It's through obedience to God. And as the world, through the coronavirus, people are still eating unclean meats. It's a physical thing. Obey me, God says. And we have scientists and doctors that are telling us where these viruses are coming from. They're jumping from unclean animals, coming into our human bodies, and then it's spread from human to human. But it's not that we need to worry. We trust in God. We have that joy when we suffer in all tribulations. We suffer in our trials. We still count it all joy because we have hope. Hope of the resurrection. We understand and we know the plan of God, and that's how we live our lives, with the fruits of God's Holy Spirit in us. Okay, the third point that we should be mindful of in understanding the Passover when we take of the bread, it symbolizes the broken body of Jesus Christ because of our sins. His body was beaten, was smitten, was horribly bruised and wounded and afflicted beyond recognition, as we will talk more in the Passover. We should remember that deeply, and we should appreciate very much what he has done for us, taking the penalty in our place. Let's turn over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, and read a couple of verses. Jesus Christ never sinned, but he suffered because of sin. Isaiah 53. Let's read verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I mean, he was punished because of this. He makes us whole because of this. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And he was wounded for our transgressions, because of our rebellion and our disobedience. He suffered. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And then it says, and by his stripes we were healed, as we learned in the first message, that Christ is there. He cares for us. He loves us. So he willingly consented to suffer the excruciating death. So again, the bread symbolizes the broken body of Jesus Christ because of our sins. And there's another thing that we should also focus on regarding the bread, is that we can have a close relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. We have newness of life because of the bread. John 6, Mr. McKean was reading from there earlier, but John chapter 6, verse 27, Christ is saying, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." Again, we don't want to be seeking things of our own importance. The most important thing that we should be seeking is God's way of life. That should be the utmost importance. And I think that it's a good reminder. We can use what's going on as a reminder with the situation of the coronavirus and what that is causing, and reflect on our lives. Are we focused? And I think for me, it's helped me to get refocused. You know, we look at the something that we hear about all the time, we talk about all the time, when then something happens, God, we can use it, that, hey, we can get refocused, get closer to God. And I think during these difficult times, we're not together, but it hasn't affected us in a way to be negative. It's making us stronger. Yes, we would love to be together, but we will deal with whatever happens and what God gives us, and God is in control. And I really appreciate the phone calls that I'm getting from many of you. And my wife and I are doing the same as well. The list is long. Sometimes our conversations with you are 5 minutes. Sometimes they're an hour. So we haven't gotten to the whole list yet, but we're working on it. And also, we've been getting phone calls from the Northwest side as well. So appreciate all you who are doing that. And I wanted to say hello to the shut-ins, who are usually shut in every week as well. I've talked with you, and I said I would wave to you. You know who I'm talking to. So we appreciate you very much, and appreciate you reaching out and calling others as well. So that is some highlights that I think we should look at regarding the bread. As we get into the days of unleavened bread, we'll talk more about that bread and some more meaning of it, what that bread symbolizes and how we should be using it in our life. But we want to be able to have an understanding when we come to the Passover, not just take it as a tradition. It needs to be, we want to have deep meaning and understanding why God the Father sacrificed his son and why Jesus Christ did it, and that meaning for us. Okay, let's go look at the Passover wine that we'll also be taking that night. Now, before I take the bread first, and then we take the wine second. But before we do that, I'm not touching on the foot washing. Okay, I'm talking about the emblems of the bread and the wine today. We know that if we're not humble before God, and we'll learn our lessons through the foot washing, we'll talk about that on Passover night as well. But it's the humility, us humbling ourselves so that we will learn from God, and so that bread and that wine can be effective in our lives. We are renewing our commitment with God when we go to Passover. And so this is something that, it's not that we're going to Passover and, okay, this is what the bread does and this is what the wine does. This is something that we should be living in our lives every day. And so we're going to the Passover to commemorate the death of Jesus Christ. So here I want to now have 4 points in regards to what the Passover wine symbolizes and what Christ wants us to remember when we go and partake of the Passover as well, and regarding the wine. 1 Corinthians 11:25, he says, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We read that scripture a little bit earlier. It says, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper. So they had a dinner that night. We do not do the dinner. All right, as after the dinner, Christ then implemented the bread and the wine, the foot washing, bread and the wine. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. And again, he says, in remembrance of me. So the first thing that I have here that we should remember, the drinking of wine is a symbol of his shed blood and the forgiveness of our sins. It symbolizes his shed blood and the forgiveness of our sins. And that should always be remembered and never forgotten in our lives every single day. And when we pray over the bread and we pray over the wine, and that bread, you take that piece of bread and you take that wine, you're probably going to want to even do a prayer of your own before you put it into your mouth. Because that evening, that bread symbolizes Jesus Christ, his body. That wine symbolizes Jesus Christ's body, the blood. And we're taking it in. And we should be reflecting on the meaning and the symbolism of those two emblems. Ephesians 1:7, turn over there. We'll see that it represents the very life's blood that flowed from Jesus Christ in his body. Life is in the blood. We know Jesus Christ was killed and suffered a period of time before he died. But it's the life and the blood that flowed from Jesus, from his dying body, so that we may have complete forgiveness of our sins. And he was willing to do that. And the Father was willing to sacrifice him so that we could have life ourselves. And Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. We're redeemed through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we must fully comprehend how this is so. Should be on our mind. Let's be sure that we understand it. The shed blood of Jesus was for our sinful life. And we should truly hate sin, because it's our sins that Jesus Christ took upon himself. The shed blood of Jesus Christ should powerfully motivate us to never want to ever sin again, even though that we do, but it's something that we don't want to do. So in Romans 2:4, we'll see that it's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God to help us to see that we don't want to sin. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So it's God's goodness. He leads us to repentance. He helps us to overcome. Right? The blood of Jesus Christ doesn't help us to overcome. It's there for us to forgive us, but we receive God's Holy Spirit to help us to overcome. We must be moved to be able to apply in our lives to overcome. God gives us his Holy Spirit through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon repentance and baptism for the removal of those sins. So that should be on our mind and our actions. Okay, the second thing in regards to what the Passover wine symbols and what Christ wants us to remember when we take that wine, is our conscience is freed from guilt. Our conscience is freed of guilt. Let's turn over to Psalm 103, verse 12. Because it's not only covering our sins, but it makes it possible for us to get rid of the guilt. And many people come and say, hey, I'm not worthy to take the Passover. I just have this all this guilt. The things in my life, it's just overwhelming, it's overbearing. I'm going before God, I'm asking for my sins to be forgiven, but it's just weighing on me. What does God tell us when we go to Him? If we're living His way of life, we're commanded to keep the Passover. We're commanded to keep the holy days. We're commanded to obey Him, right? And Satan is the one who's putting that into our minds. As we heard in the first message, we must overcome. We must run our race. We must not let Satan get in the way. Psalm 103, verse 12. We're to have that faith that Christ took all His guilt upon Himself. That He took all that guilt upon Himself, our guilt. He took it all upon Himself. That's what Scripture says. Are we applying it in our lives? We must be on our knees and continue to keep asking God to help us to have the right mindset. Let's not give up. We're encouraged in Psalm 103, verse 12, because we should not have any more self-inflicted guilt or self-reproach. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so as He removed our transgressions from us. So He's removed them from us. That's what Scripture says. So if we're still allowing ourselves to be guilty, well, then we need to be going for God and asking for help to overcome that guilt. All right? So when we take that wine at Passover, that's one thing that we can look at that symbolizes that Christ helps us with that, and we need to apply that in our lives. Also, Hebrews chapter 9 talks more about that, you know, the blood and goats doesn't take away the sins. Never did. The sacrifices pointed to Jesus Christ, but it's only the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that can take away sins. And so we have the new covenant. We need to apply it in our lives. The third thing I have in regards to what the Passover wine symbolizes and what Christ wants us to remember is that we have access to the Father. Through that wine that symbolizes the forgiveness of sin, we now have access to the Father. What a wonderful gift. Makes it possible that we can come before the very throne of God. Hebrews chapter 10, and I know we know this, but I think when we're taking the emblems, the wine, that this should be on our mind as well, that we should be prepared, that we should understand Passover, that this wine helps us to have access, representing the forgiveness of sin, to the Father. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because we've made a commitment and we're living that way of life, we have access to the Father. We can have confidence in that. We can approach God with confidence and assurance because that blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, the last thing that I have here in regards to what the Passover wine symbolizes and what Christ wants us to remember as we commemorate His death, it signifies that He has entered into an agreement or in a covenant with us. We have a covenant made possible, a new covenant. Matthew 26:27, again, when Jesus instituted the wine for the New Testament Passover, He said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant. The blood of the new covenant. That's Matthew 26, verse 27. Verse 28, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many for the forgiveness of sins. So what constitutes our covenant with God? We have a covenant with God. Mr. McKeon talked about it in the first message. It's repentance of our sins. We have to have a Passover lamb. We have to be called by God. We have a baptism. We have acceptance of the blood of Jesus to redeem us from the penalty of eternal death. And then we put that into practice with our belief in his promises to forgive our sins. That constitutes a new covenant that we've been given, that we've accepted, that we've made. And we renew that at baptism. I think I'm focused. I keep looking at that camera. and we do have an audience here. We have 9 people here, counting myself and a dog. So so in the early New Testament church in Corinth, as I opened up with, we saw that there was people who did not take the bread and the wine seriously. They just took it as a tradition. The new emblems were implemented. They took it as a meal. They weren't focused on their brothers and sisters and what it truly meant. And that's something that we do not want to do ourselves. They never understood or bothered to understand. I hope that's not the same with us. We need to understand the significance of our actions. Well, it's important for us to fully understand the spiritual implications of it's important for us to fully understand the spiritual implications of our participation in the Passover. So understanding the Passover is understanding the body and the blood of Christ and putting that into practice. I hope I was able to bring that out today. And there's one other thing I would like to look at, because if we're discerning the Lord's body, we're promised hope. We're promised eternal life. Let's turn over to John chapter 6 and understanding the Passover. John chapter 6, verse 54. Here it's speaking of the future Passover symbols of the bread and the wine, which is picturing the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says in John 6, 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up this last day. He's talking about a resurrection. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. In verse 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. What wonderful promises that God has given us. So when we come to the Passover, let's have an understanding of the Passover, and let's not discern the Lord's body.